Whoa, got a black eye for those of you watching. I got sucker punched by a good friend of mine, so it wasn't an attack from a stranger, but nevertheless, I look like I just got back from Fight Club with Brad Pitt. But more importantly, today I have a very special guest, a very inspiring, motivating, educational even podcast episode with none other than Bradley Simmons, an absolute legend. He's a fitness icon in the UK. We connected back, I guess it's probably been over a year or so on Instagram, and I've always loved his energy, always loved his passion for health and wellness, and honestly, his no BS approach to content, to giving people what they need to know for their lives and for improving their fitness, their health, their mindset. We chatted everything from fitness to traveling to social media content to growing a business to subscription-based business models and everything like that and more. So if that sounds like something you are into, buckle up. This episode is so freaking good. I can't wait to hear from you guys what you think. But until then, well, I guess with that being said, rather, Bradley Simmons. Well, man, I got Bradley Simmons, a legend, on the podcast today. I'm freaking stoked you're here, man. Thank you for connecting.
Mate, thank you. I've been following you for a while. We've had that good communication between us. We haven't actually met in person yet, but I'm sure that will happen. Yeah. So, mate, it's nice to do this podcast with you.
Heck yeah, bro. Now, do you ever travel to Florida? Because we definitely need to like connect in person.
Mate, I haven't traveled to America for a while. I've been to San Francisco, I went to Arizona, I've been to New York, I've been to LA, San Francisco. So I've been to many places in America, but not Florida just yet. However, I am going to Miami very soon, in about 2 months. I'm going to Miami and then I'm going to Bahamas. So I got a job with a cruise. I'm doing that. So look, I'm there for 2 or 3 days. We definitely got to meet, mate.
I was going to say, dude, you got to show Florida some love, man. Let's go.
I know, 100%.
Especially, I mean, so you're in the UK. Where are you exactly?
Yes, I'm in London. So I'm in Southwest London, a place called Fulham, which is next to Chelsea. So I'm not sure if people might be aware of the men in Chelsea, or they might know Chelsea Football Club. So I'm literally 0.5 miles away from Chelsea Football Club Stadium. So it's a very nice area. I'm on the river by the water, which is nice and peaceful. But it's a good area.
Heck yeah. That's huge. We're by the ocean. And I think being by the water does a lot of good for sure.
There's scientific facts about it, isn't it?
Yeah, and I was gonna say that's why you need to visit Florida and the Bahamas, because y'all don't get the sunshine like we do. Like the
no, mate.
Sun.
I'm just looking at you compared to me. I look very pale. So I literally recently came back. I was in the Maldives recently. I was in Bali. Came back with a nice tan. But in the UK, you're losing that tan straight away. So every single day, I'm on vitamin D supplements, which is massively important for those listening to this in the UK. Make sure you're doing your vitamin D. Because we're not doing that, especially at the minute, no chance.
For real, yeah. I lived in Ohio with my wife for 2 years, and that's I feel like it's very similar in terms of UK days, sunny days per year, and it does take a toll, man. Like seasonal depression, that's a real thing. It's partly like why we are obsessed with health and fitness and wellness, because when you don't feel your best, dude, you just life is not great.
I just did a Q&A now on my Instagram. I'm getting a lot of people asking me, how do you stay motivated when the weather's like this? Mm. And you have to remind them is like that famous saying, summer bodies are made in the winter, right? But for me also, it's building that resilience. Because if you build it, if you maintain it in the winter, that resilience going into the summer is going to be easy. It's not going to be a chore to maintain it. And if you want to feel your very best in the summer, you have to put the work in now. You have to head down. And it is tough. Of course it is. It's cold. It's rainy. You don't want to wake up, go to the gym, but you feel a lot worse if you don't. So this is what you have to, I try and remind my clientele. I remind my followers, you got to put the hard work in.
Why is that the case? It's so easy to live based on like feelings and emotions, because let's be honest, Bradley, like it is easier to like kick the bucket down the road and be like, I'll get to like getting in shape whenever I have more time. But dude, we never have more time.
No, I think it's your environment. I think that's massively important. I think it's your environment, who you surround yourself with. So if you've got other people in your circle who you live with have got that mentality, you're more likely to follow suit, right? So for me, can you surround yourself with those people that get up and do the workout anyway? It's a non-negotiable. And then your next the next minute, you're likely to carry on. You're likely to feel motivated. You're likely to feel inspired. So for me, your environment is so important.
Huge, man. Now, yeah, like talk about like your friend group or your social community over there in the UK. And maybe it's online too, because like we know, I see your stuff, you see mine, and we see people who are like-minded. It inspires me and motivates me. So like, what do you look for in like friends or community to really like bring the best out of you?
Well, first of all, I moved to this area of London because there's lots of young entrepreneurs, especially in the fitness space. So the gym I go to, there's other online coaches, people are running a business. So again, I'm feeling motivated, inspired every single day. Again, my environment is key. My brother has just moved in and he's super fit. So we motivate each other. So that's
who's really cool. Who's more fit?
When I was running the marathon, training for the marathon, for example, I was like, yeah, bro, come and do a 10K with me. He beat me and he did no training. So he's just naturally an absolute machine. He's a bit lighter than me. His bone structure is a lot lighter. So that's my excuse when he's able to do more pull-ups than me. But if it came to a wrestle, if it came to a boxing match, there's only one winner and he knows that.
Is he older or younger?
He's older than me. I'm the youngest of four. So I've got two older brothers and older sister. But it's good. It's that friendly competitiveness, which is massively important. So when people say to me, why are you so motivated all the time? Again, it's just people I'm surrounding myself. I came from the footballing background, as you guys would say, soccer. So a lot of my friends are still playing soccer now. A lot of my friends are coaching. A lot of my friends didn't do well like myself in that footballing world. So they've transitioned to the PT and are staying fit. So a lot of my friends and my family are in the fitness world. So of course, that definitely helps.
Yeah. Now, do you think being like the youngest, do you think that's, how has that played a role in like you really trying to like prove yourself and,
my family will say, I just do my thing. I don't need reassurance. I'm very independent. I guess when it came to me, my mom was like, oh, just go do your thing. Get yourself in trouble. It's fine. Like, whereas my older siblings are very, they need a reassurance all the time. They tend to speak to my parents quite more often. Where myself, I just do my thing. I think I'm very independent. So it's mental how different siblings act in certain different ways, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Are you the youngest, oldest of your siblings?
So I'm the middle. Yeah, I have an older sister, younger brother. And the funny thing is I married, my wife is the same exact thing, middle with an older sister, younger brother. Okay, it is pretty interesting that we kind of have had a very similar childhood in a way, with that being said.
And what's your youngest sibling like?
He's starting to get more into health and fitness and taking care of himself. He just got into video games, early. And so he loved, like he was an athlete for sure. He still is, but he loves video games, loves watching like American football and stuff. Whereas me, I'm like, dude, I want to go outside to the beach or the pool or just like outside in nature. And I want to just like lift weights in the sun. I want to do maybe like try surfing. Like I'm much more of a, I don't know, outdoorsy person.
Yeah, it's mental. I'm very similar. That's why I love escaping to like Bali and Dubai, which is a bit closer to us, because I love being outdoors.
So like, how has travel, because I've seen you travel so much, I'm like, dude, this guy's freaking living. And it's always like seasons of life too.
It helps being single, that's for sure.
It's true. Yeah, when you have a wife and a kid or a spouse and a kid, it definitely changes. But it's all good. So like for, traveling for you, what do you think, what do you think traveling does for you in terms of, I don't know, maybe it's more perspective on life. Maybe you understand how to stay on track when you're traveling. Like how does travel?
Yeah. Well, for me, I had to make sure I was in a position where I can financially afford to travel. So fortunately for me, I'm an online coach. So I still can build my business while I'm traveling. That was massively important for me. I've never been that person, that mindset, well, I'm going to take a gap year and live with my savings. That's never been my mentality. Mm-hmm. For me, I always thought, well, that's going to make me step 10 times back, to understand. So I've always had that mentality. Yeah. The only way I'm going to travel is I need to be financially secure and earn money while I'm traveling. So I've only got to the point now where I'm able to do it. And that's been in the industry for 10 years. To understand. So when I go to I went to Maldives recently or Bali, I'm still working. People don't see the hard work. I'm not going to record myself working on a laptop for 4 hours. Of course, I'm not going to see that. But when I got my free time, of course, I make the most of it and I enjoy it. And like you said, you've got the luxury of waking up in the sunshine, training outdoors. Unbelievable. We don't necessarily have that in London. So I really make the most of it. So when I go to like the Bali and stuff, yeah, it's just incredible, mate. Because
yeah,
for you, I guess the novelty could wear off a little bit, hence why your brother's just going to let's play video games and stuff. But if right. coming from London, wow, we're like, let's smash this. This is incredible. The dopamine yes. rush is insane. So we come yes. back to London for a bit of reality to carry on grafting, and then I need that buzz again. So it's a nice, healthy thing to do.
It's good contrast, it seems. You yeah. know? Like it's like you're like more in that holiday, going on a holiday and travel mindset yeah. in reality versus like, you know, back home. And it's nice to have the contrast because, you know, one of the downsides of Florida is it's always freaking paradise for the most part.
Yeah.
And so to your point, man, it's like people just kind of get used to the paradise yeah. and they don't appreciate it as much.
This is it. 100%.
So that's interesting. How do you bounce back from like, let's say like traveling and whatnot? How do you, you know, if you talk about like the contrast and you have like a ton of dopamine, there's obviously with any spike in dopamine, there's what? Like there's that, that downside. So how do you yeah. kind of bounce back and get to equilibrium?
Well, I just live with reality, mate. So I like to come back to the UK. And like I said, now I've done a month in Bali and now I appreciate that's nearly gonna be Christmas here. Christmas in London yeah. is beautiful. You've got the lights. You go to the Cotswolds, which is in the countryside, you enjoy that. But yeah, no, for me, it's just reality. You're going to have that dopamine rush. And then now I'm just have to remind myself, all right, you're not feeling great. You're not feeling as good as you were in Bali, but this is time to graft. And then that's going to give you that excitement once again, because you're going to be able to afford to go and do it. So I guess I've just got that mentality, but it's tough. I'm in a very lucky position, of course. I understand there's many people out there that haven't got the luxury to just go travel for a month and still earn money, of course.
For sure. I do think it is amazing the fact that we're both predominantly online, which is awesome. Yeah. Like doing what we do with coaching and with content and with other, you know, whether it be brand partnerships or like yeah. apps and different things that we can pursue, that didn't exist like not that long ago, mm-hmm. you know?
We quickly had to adapt, mate. There's many people that didn't adapt as quickly as we did, you know? During that lockdown period, we couldn't personal train anymore. Everything was shut down. Yeah.
Yep.
So if you didn't transition to online, you're a bit of a muppet. You're a bit slow. and look, it was a risk to take. I remember my first live workout in the lockdown period. I said, oh, is anyone going to turn up? Because this could be embarrassing. Yeah, do you know what I mean? But fortunately yeah. for me, I had thousands and thousands. And luckily that helped me grow my following during that lockdown period. And what that did, that built a real good core following. Because they saw Mr. Surface.
Yeah.
And I believe things have kind of changed now. Because, for example, I might go to, let's say, to Maldives, do an Instagram post. It looks lovely. Mm-hmm. You gain 30,000 followers overnight.
Yep.
But only because they've seen that one post, not because they're with you every day during that lockdown. So following has definitely changed. Do you understand?
For sure.
So when you see someone with 1 million followers, they might not be as successful as someone with 200,000 followers. It's True. All about the engagement and the quality, right?
Mm. So what do you contribute? Because you're no doubt like a charismatic guy. People are drawn to you. Like, what do you attribute like people like yourself? What's the main thing that you think allows you to be successful and put yourself out there versus someone who maybe is a little bit more like superficial? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it comes with experience. I guess over the years, I've built that credibility with brands I've worked with, magazines I've worked with and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, that's right. You've been in magazines, bro. This dude's a freaking legend. I
can't. No, so obviously, yeah. So I guess that credibility helps.
What if I just pulled out? What if I pulled out a magazine with your face on it? Like, yeah, dude, there he is.
I've got a few on the coffee table by now.
As you should, bro, for sure.
But yeah, so I guess you put that credibility, you know. So for me, my Instagram is a service, like similar to yours. We want people to come to our page to feel inspired, feel motivated, and to gain knowledge.
And then go deeper.
And go deeper as well. We're not showing off, you know. And what I like about your Instagram, I think it's similar to mine, or our message is we don't have to, in English word, mug people off to gain following. Mm. Do you understand? There's a lot
yeah,
of
how do you, what do you mean by that, yeah?
Well, you find a lot of people in our space, the fitness world, to gain followers now, they have to talk about another influencer. They have to get another video out and mug them off in a way. And then it built, do you know what I mean? Understand?
Yep,
we don't do that. We stick to our values and we stick to morals and we're good energy. It's all positive.
Correct.
You understand?
Yes. So, I mean, and that to me is like, it's so important because I think I am impressionable when it comes to like energy and like people's energy. So if someone's really toxic or negative, I feel like I take that on myself. So I'm very aware and intentional about like who I choose to listen to, who I choose to follow. Because I think that's why we can operate at a high level of energy and output and creation is because we're very intentional about who we surround ourselves with, the voices we listen to, and what we're focused on.
100%. So like, for example, when your online clients come and work with you and they say why they've worked with you, what do they say? What's the most common thing?
It's a great question. And I wanted to pop in too. I'll ask you another one. But yeah, to answer your question, my friend, I would say they appreciate the authenticity very much. I think people value authentic human relationship, especially if you're talking one-on-one coaching or coaching online. Mm-hmm. And then I think the value piece, like I share my faith, you know, faith in God. I share Bible verses. I share what I'm going through. Like I've been vulnerable on camera and on my content. So people, I think people are, people relate. And honestly, I want to share that more because if anything, I probably fall into erring on the side of like, hey, here's the best snapshots of my entire life. Mm-hmm. Which I think is fine because people don't go on Instagram to like, if I follow someone and they're just constantly sharing negative stuff or always being vulnerable, I'm like, okay, like maybe you're probably doing that
there's also a tension seeking with that. When you see people crying to the camera, I'm like, well,
correct.
You had to set that camera up and then start crying. What the
facts.
But my audience can see through that and they don't want that. It's too much. Where most common thing is they like my no nonsense approach. I'll give you a fair, honest answer, and I'll tell you the solution for you to better yourself physically and mentally.
Bro, I freaking love that. Yeah. My question too, when you were talking, I thought was, because I've been following you for a few years now, and I've seen your progression, which has been awesome. It's been inspiring, like just seeing you have success in that space, both in person and online. But you've always kind of had, it seems like, a knack for talking in front of the camera and articulating your ideas clearly. Like, have you always been good at articulation?
No, mate, I was terrible. Suffered with dyslexia as a kid, was very nervous in front of the camera. But I knew the only way for me to get better is I got to come out of my comfort zone. Very early on in my career as a personal trainer, I was training a lot of celebrities and professional footballers, soccer players. Came a lot of media attention. So I was on like Sky News. I was on different TV channels, morning breakfast channels. And I look back in those now and go, wow, I was terrible. But those uncomfortable situations has made me better now to understand. It was one of my biggest insecurities was how do I speak in front of the camera. But the more practice, the more I push myself, the more I come outside of my comfort zone, the better I'm going to be.
That's really fire.
And that's how I've always been. And don't get me wrong, I'm not the smartest tool in the world, but I'm very confident, and confidence always wins.
And so, dude, so good, man. And you said like that confidence and that growth really comes from just throwing yourself into the fire, like a sink or swim sort of thing. And sometimes you're going to struggle, but ultimately you come out stronger.
Of course. Yeah. And that's every aspect of life. You know what I mean? That's for everything.
That's 100% true. Do you think, is there anything else you do that you try to like, because you just mentioned like it's been a journey for you that you used to really suck at. Like what other things do you kind of like look to? Did you try just practicing by yourself with the camera? Did you do other things?
Yeah, of course. Like I think Instagram stories have always been helpful. When that first came out, you then talking to the camera. The more you do that, the better you'll be able to speak. But then, of course, you have to gain knowledge, right? And you have to believe in the knowledge that you've gained. So for me, every day without fail, I'm not a good reader. I really struggle to read. I haven't got the attention span to read. My mind goes elsewhere. Even though
goldfish attention span.
This is it. And this is maybe I've got ADHD. Maybe I don't know what it is. But I listen to a podcast every single day without fail. So today I was on Concept 2 bike. I've got a bit of an injury at the minute, so I just did an hour on there for my cardio. So what I do, I listen to a podcast. It went quick. So constantly, I'll walk my dog for an hour, 2 hours. I listen to a podcast. So that's why my way to gain knowledge and understanding. And then
what are your top kind of podcasts at the moment?
So the Diary of the CEO, he's a good lad, but his tone of voice is actually annoys me a little bit, but I really like his guests. I think his guests are spot on, and I don't believe with everything his guests say. It's quite controversial sometimes.
Sure.
But it's good. So then listen to that guest. Go and then do your own research, see what other people have to say about it, look into it, and you figure out what's true or false, because you've got to be careful. There's a lot of people trying to sell their product or their book or their, you know what I mean? But being an influencer or being in the industry, you can sniff that bullshit straight away.
Yeah.
You don't
yeah.
mind me asking, swear.
I mean, dude, no, 100%. I think, I love it. Like one of your buddies, I don't know his name, but he always is making like spoof videos of fitness influencers and different things. He's a big jacked like footballer.
Paul Lima.
Yes, that's him.
Yeah.
And what I love about that is it's so needed, because like I think people get away with a lot in the fitness industry, you know?
Yeah. Oh, big time. Well, look,
so he brings it back down to like, yo, that's reaching.
Unfortunately, in our industry now, if you want to get to a million followers quick, you have to be a clown or you have to make controversial videos.
Sure.
Yeah. You can't be authentic. You might be a more credible following, but if you want to get to a million followers now, you have to be a bit of a clown. So it's nice that Paul, my friend, takes the piss out of those clowns and gives us all a bit of a laugh.
Yes.
And yeah, he has done so well from it. If you knew how much he was making, so on Facebook, he'll get 100 million views, mate. It is insane. So a simple idea, he put a bit of love of it, he's now making serious money, and good to him. He's found his niche and he's smashing it.
No doubt. And so with him, do you think the opportunity is more in just the view count, or is it like campaigns or brands that come to him?
Yeah. Now? Like, don't get me wrong. Like, he gets his ads as we all do, but for me, you should never rely on that. Yeah. I was one part of my career, my manager. I was a PT training 5 to 6, sometimes 10 clients a day, exhausting. You get your ad campaign, you're buzzing. Next minute, my ads are coming. I've got sponsorship deals, Under Armour, MyProtein, earning a lot of money. Next minute, they drop you because they got another idea, or their campaign's changed. Or, for example, let's say, I'm not sure if I had to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Black Lives Matter. So the white boy with the blue eyes got dropped, for example.
Right. Sure.
All these things can come in place. So I always say to my friends in the industry, do not rely on ads. Do not rely on Instagram. Do not rely on these campaigns. Build your own personal brand.
Yeah.
If you can build a subscription, for example, you're going to be like, yes, it takes time, but eventually with good content, you're going to get the clientele. Plus, once your views are good, then of course those brand deals are going to come in, and it's a nice side hustle rather than being your main hustle. There was a time in my career where that's what I relied on. It was ads and campaigns. And then I'll be on the phone to my manager. When's that money coming in? Is that being confirmed? My anxiety levels went off the roof. I'm paying a lot of money for this car. If I get dropped, then that, can I afford that? It's all this. Now I'm in a place where it's just relying on me and my brand and my business, Bradley Simmons brand, the Get It Done brand. And it's down to me if it does well or not.
I freaking love that, dude. So with subscription too, you think that might be, cause that's obviously more steady, let's say. So is that a big focus for you? Is that subscription?
Yeah, that's the main focus for me. If we get it done. So I've got two separate apps. I've got the online coaching, which is more bespoke. Which is tailored programming, regular motivation, regular support, regular help. And then you've got Get It Done, which is a little bit more generic, but it's more affordable. So if you want a good workout, if you want to have an 8-week program, then you're going to buy that and it's going to be great. But if you want something a bit more tailored, personalized, that's obviously the higher, of course. So I've built something for different, wages and that's
different types of people.
Yeah, exactly.
And different.
That's it. Subscription is definitely the way, mate. 100%. 100%.
I'm seeing that too. Like, I mean, I love doing both. And I think that's what I mean, we're very similar, bro. I feel like we're brothers in a lot of ways. You just have a cooler accent than me. but it's actually funny too. My business partner at the studio, he's actually from the UK, but he's completely like lost his British accent.
Was he?
So I give him crap because it's just like, dude, you're fake. You're a fake Englishman. But by the way, side note, what was that?
No, so when I went to LA, I just said hello to a few girls. They went mad. So it is a thing.
Oh, dude, yeah, I'm sure you have a big issue with female attention, like looking, needing that. No, but one of my favorite movies, man, The Gentleman.
Oh,
Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie is a man. But if you ever come to London, I'll take you to one of his pubs. It's not far from me.
I'd love roasting, that.
Proper British food. You'll enjoy it, mate. But Guy Ritchie, he's definitely one of my favorite TV, film producers. Incredible.
Yeah, dude. Incredibly talented, like legend for sure. That's amazing. I was going to ask you this too when you were talking, like what? So in light of everything, with your persona online, there's obviously plenty of people who know of you, but like, what's like a misconception you think that's, maybe like, what do you think people maybe think about you that's not true? Like, is there anything that comes to mind?
Yeah, like arrogant. I get called, people that don't know me call me arrogant. Right. People that don't know me want me to be arrogant. It's a strange world we live in.
Wow.
I get a lot, oh my God, I actually thought you'd be a really cocky, horrible person when they meet me in real life. I'm like, what made you think of that? I guess if you look on my page and you don't look into my stories or you don't watch my highlights or you don't understand my personality, you've got a guy taking his top off, going to amazing places around the world, you're just going to assume he's a certain type of character. I totally understand that. So you're stereotyping.
Yeah.
But once you get to know me, once you get to understand my values and what I want to achieve in life, then you're going to think I'm a nice person. I come from a Catholic background myself. Might not be as religious as you, but you got that Catholic, that family, like morals and that upbringing, you know? So yeah, that's probably it. But yeah, what about yourself?
Yeah, I think people, I mean, dude, we're all guilty of like judging books by their covers. And, you know, we see one little pocket of this person's life and we're like, oh yeah, I know that guy. Like we're going to write him off as arrogant.
Yeah, you know?
But I see that for you. I'm like, nah, he's just confident in his body, in his persona. He speaks well.
Yeah.
And oftentimes that could be, I don't know, it could feel threatening to some person who's maybe struggling with that. So they write you off as arrogant.
Well, I think so many people are lacking confidence right now, right? Whereas when someone is confident and they're doing well and they're successful, it's easy to call them arrogant. But I always say, if you're calling me arrogant, I take that as a compliment because you can see that I'm succeeding. You can see that I'm fulfilling my dreams and I'm going places. So I don't actually get hurt by it at all. I'm like, cool. Well, you don't actually personally know me. So I'm taking it as a compliment.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, like you'll never be, what's this quote where it's like, no one who's doing more than you or better than you is ever going to tear you down.
Yeah, no, 100%. This is it. This is it. This is why your environment again is really important because, I got friends who aren't as successful as me, but they're pushing me. My success is their success, and it motivates them, you know? If I sense any sense of jealousy or bitterness, like, I ain't got time for that energy, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Also, I heard, I think it was Tom Holland. Do you know him, that actor?
Yeah, Tom Holland. Yeah.
Exactly. And he was on a TikTok video I saw sometime in the TikTok black hole, but he was like, you know, talking about people pleasing, but also the fact that like people he doesn't know have a problem with them. And he said to the interviewer, he was like, you know, basically he got to the point where he's like, if you don't like me, that's fine. Text me. If you don't text me, that means you don't have my phone number. Exactly. And if you don't have my phone number, you don't have the right to actually have a problem with me.
Exactly. 100%. And Gordon Ramsay was on a podcast, the High Performance Podcast. It was a really good podcast. I listen to it regularly.
Is that another one of your favorites? Yeah.
Yeah, the High Performance Podcast, really good. They just get lots of entrepreneurial people on there. People have had successful from a young age, come from zero to nothing. All that type of stuff is just good to listen to. And they've had quite a few of my friends in the industry who are smashing it. Which tend to be women, mate. Women in our space are killing it.
Killing.
The app space, the subscription base, wow, the women are killing it. And I've got a lot of friends in the UK who are doing very, very well. So they've been on the podcast, really good podcast to listen to. And Gordon Ramsay says it, said, look, if you can call it arrogant, take it as a compliment. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a feather in your cap. Yeah, for sure. I like that. And I think just going back to your question with like, for me, I think it's pretty similar. It's been a reoccurring theme in my life where people will maybe see me and think they know me because of what they see on Instagram. Yeah. And like, they're just like, oh, he's a douchebag. Like, he can't be like, I'm sure he's a douchebag, you know? Cause unfortunately, like, that's just the way things are. And, you know, I think that's a natural reaction to seeing someone's highlight reel and what they put out there. 100%. But then,
Do you feel like there's a division right now because of Instagram and the algorithms, men and women are like this?
Interesting.
I'm noticing a lot.
Men and women.
Yeah, men and women are going, like, so my following recently, men has shot right up. Like, when I first started Instagram, it was 90% female, 10% male, because I guess it was more, I was doing selfies, I was being a bit of a pretty boy, and that was getting followers at the time. So whatever gets you followers, you tend to do, right?
Yeah, sure.
Now it's more, I'm trying to empower men to get in the gym, live that healthy lifestyle, to be ambitious, to look after your mental health. And if you look after, you have to look after your physical health to look after your mental health, right?
Yeah.
So I'm gaining a lot of men following now. And it's quite funny. And all my haters at the minute seem to be women for some reason. I don't understand why. I don't understand why. It's a bit nuts. And I think it's just pure algorithms.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I think it speaks to the importance of like knowing who you are and knowing your self-worth is not dictated by other people and what they think of you. Because reality is, like, if you want freedom, I think – I heard a quote the other day where it's like, freedom is just giving people the permission to misunderstand you in a lot of ways. For you and me, for anyone who's putting themselves out there, that's really truly the case. Like, when I feel kind of constricted or not as free flowing and creative, it's typically because I'm looking at what people are saying.
Yeah, no, of course. 100%. 100%.
You mentioned mental health. Like, that's obviously a big deal. Like, what are your, how do you keep mentally fit, like disciplined, resilience? You know, it's obviously a lot going on in life and business, but like, yeah, how do you stay mentally healthy?
I think I have those non-negotiables, which for me have to be done to keep my mental health in check. So that's waking up in the morning, staying off my phone, doing something active to get my brain going, get my metabolism going. So luckily for me, I have a dog, which definitely keeps me out of the house.
Love that.
I've just invested in a chill tub, which is like an ice bath on my balcony. That's massively important for my dopamine rush. So I tend to do that in the morning, 3 minutes, whether it's cold, raining, snowing. I'm in that regardless of how I feel, because I know what it's going to do for me after. That's brilliant. Again, I look after my nutrition. I know the importance of having a whole food diet, nutritious diet. Stay away from as much highly processed food as we can. We all know that's causing mental health issues. Obesity rates are rising. This is the main cause, right? So for me, I just stick to whole foods, good quality foods. I exercise regularly, which is massively important. And I protect my energy when it comes to who I hang around with. So my environment is key. And that's it, really. It's not really that difficult, but again, it's identifying where you can go wrong and what you need to be improved. And a lot of people, because they're surrounded by, let's say, a bad environment, they don't understand where they're going wrong.
And dude, you said it beautifully, where it's like, it's some of the most basic, simplest things. And it's the same with you and I both know with training. You know, you don't gotta do all this crazy nonsense as much as you have to master the freaking basics. Like, just stay the path, stay the course, and over time this stuff grows and you get better.
And it's becoming very cliche now. Like, you don't have to be motivated, you have to be disciplined. Like, that's the most cliche thing to say these days, because you know what I mean? But maybe a year ago, I mean, wow, what a saying. But that's what everyone's being reminded of now. And it's so true. Like, I wasn't motivated to work out today, but I knew I had to. Because one, I want to stay in shape, and two, I was buzzing after, and allowed me then to go on my laptop feeling good about myself. I respected myself.
I love that, dude.
There's nothing worse than doing a whole day on the laptop thinking I haven't done anything. I feel like a lazy sod.
Bro.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, you got to shake out of that real quick because it can
a sense of achievement. It's a sense of fulfillment. So I truly believe if people haven't got a purpose in life, if they're not being fulfilled by anything, then they're going to struggle mentally.
Mm.
You understand? And it could be a sense of wake up a bit earlier than everyone else because no one else is doing it. Doing your workout. There's a sense of achievement there. Sense of fulfillment. Sense of self-respect.
Yep.
Which builds confidence, builds self-esteem. Allows you to be on that laptop going, do you know what? I now deserve just to do sit on my ass and work now. Do you understand? Nice. So it's a little thing. So that's what I try and get my online coaches, clients to do. It's not just a case of here's a tailored meal plan and workout program, go and do it. It's about changing those small habits, those lifestyle changes.
Yes. That's so good, man. And I think too, what I love to talk about is what's behind, because you mentioned like motivation and discipline, how discipline is more important. And that is cliche now, but even like beyond discipline, like I think one of the most important factors in business, fitness, relationships is identity.
Yeah.
Like who you believe yourself to be.
Yeah.
What comes to mind when you look at yourself, like self-image, having a healthy, accurate self-image is so important because honestly, a lot of the unhealthy behaviors that we see in culture, that we see in our lives and in certain times, certain moments, I think really just stem from a unhealthy identity.
Yeah. 100%. You know? Yeah. 100%. Like
That's so it. how do we get an accurate self image?
Well, I always say those that didn't do sport from a very young age are the ones that do struggle with their identity.
Yeah,
they struggle with the discipline things in life. Like sport from a young age teaches you so much.
Yeah.
You learn about rejection. You learn about losing. You learn about getting back up and going again. You learn about okay, I need to put some work in to get better to improve. All these things you learn from a young age. And you'll find those that are struggling most with their health, their mental health, are those that weren't active or weren't pushed to do sports at a very young age.
It's a great point, man. What was it like for you when football came to an end? Because like for me, I know the identity crisis could be baseball.
But yeah, as I say, you look like a baseball. As I say, baseball.
Hence the douchebag. Like when people are like, oh, he must be a douchebag. Baseball player too? Oh, forget about it.
Not that. I see you got the techers, mate. That's all.
For sure. But I know when I quit playing baseball, it was a big deal. I'm like, well, you know, who am I? I was an athlete. So like, what am I now? So how was that for you?
Yeah, it was tough. It was probably the toughest 6 months I had to face because I had a very bad injury. And I realized, okay, because I came back from another injury prior to that. I was like, oh, I'm not going to reach to the top. It's just, I've got the ability, but it's just not going to happen now. I've then got that momentum. So it was an easy transition to go PT in. And luckily for me, I fell in love with it. And I learned a lot about nutrition and the body and workouts simply because of being in that sporting background, in that professional sporting background, learning from a lot of coaches and nutritionists, etc. So luckily for me, I had education before I even did my qualification. So it was an easy transition to do. But of course, it was tough in those early days when you're not making as much money and you've got friends playing in the Premier League earning £100,000 a week and you only played with them 2 years ago. Do you know what I mean? It's mentally tough. But for me, are you going to dwell on it? Are you going to let it bring you down or are you going to make it motivate you to get on their level? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Be the best you can be. So I just said to myself, look, I'm not going to play in the Champions League final. But what I'm going to do is be the front cover of Men's Health. And the only way I'm going to do that is by doing so-and-so. So that's I always set myself these goals and I always thought they were realistic. Many people at the time thought you're having a laugh, but I said, no, I can do it. And that's it.
So, that's freaking sick, dude. I love that.
Yeah.
Which, I think it speaks to the power of events take place in our life. Like we can't control outside things that happen, but we can always choose how we respond and be like, yo, I'm going to get better. I'm going to accomplish and achieve this because
I guess for you, it's like winning the Super Bowl in the fitness industry is like being front cover Men's Health, right? And do you know what I mean? Now that's what I saw the trophy as.
So heck yeah, dude. Are you like in terms of fitness, like for yourself and your own physique, like are you still going down that path of wanting to be the cover of whatever? Like what's that look like for you?
It's definitely changed. I believe they need us more than we need them now.
Yeah.
I think at one point when we weren't having our own apps or websites and stuff, and it was just an Instagram page, and they helped us grow a different type of a new following and credibility. But now people aren't going to Men's Health for information. They're coming to Bradley Simmons' page. Do you understand?
It's true.
So now Men's Health need potentially Bradley Simmons more than, that's the way I look at it.
Absolutely. Like, I think even TV, what you're seeing is like TV channels and networks, like that stuff's kind of, it's like becoming a thing of the past.
Right? When I get asked to do morning breakfast in here in the UK, I'm like, I'm going to focus on building my app. I'm going to focus on content on my Instagram because I'll probably get more reach than my audience that I want. It's mental. Do you understand? Like, I've done that all in the past. I didn't see much from it. Apart from people in my industry going, oh, well done, that was good. That's it. Do you know what I mean? So I don't need that validation anymore because I guess I've built my brand. I just need to focus on that regular, consistent content, that marketing strategy where you're building your business, you're investing money, else, blah, blah, blah. That's the way to do it these days. Unfortunately, those days are gone. Those days are gone.
What are your top apps of focus? Obviously, Instagram's up there. So, like, what are your top apps of focus, and how many, like, what's your goal of posting per week, I guess? Do you have one?
Yeah, so there's going to be a new strategy in place, which I have to invest in because I'm solely on Instagram because that's the only time I've only got time to do my Instagram. But my management said, we need to get on TikTok. We need to get on YouTube Reels, YouTube Shorts, for example. I'm not in those spaces, which are growing faster than Instagram right now.
Sure.
But of course, my content I do on Instagram wouldn't do well on TikTok as a completely different audience.
Sure. Like,
so I'm now going to employ someone to do content with me every single week, and their role is to post 20 times a day, not a week, 20 times a day on all platforms.
Wow. So 20 times total, not 20 times on TikTok that day.
No. Okay. So 20 times, it could be YouTube, it could be, but obviously different stuff, YouTube, Instagram. Obviously, I'll have another Instagram page as well, which could be different, and then still goes to the same link for your Get It Done app. Do you know what I mean? So this is the strategy I'm going to go for, which I'm going to invest heavily on, but it will be rewarding. So without risk, there's no reward, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see like that growth and that journey. Yeah. Are you gonna change anything about like your content, you know, into the future? Yeah, how so?
Yeah, of course. We always have to adapt. It's strange because the content I do, just talking to the camera, which could be like a educational piece about, let's say, protein or weight loss, that will get you clientele or inquiries. But the lifestyle content of me getting in the G-Wagon in the countryside will get me 5.5 million views and 300,000 likes and 30,000 followers.
Yep.
It's just like, so you have to find that balance. Do you understand? That educational content might not get you followers, but that'll get you clients. The video of me in the G-Wagon having that lifestyle won't get me clients, but will get me followers. So it's that balance.
So how do you, what's the balance? Is it like 50-50 or what?
Yeah, I try and keep it as 50-50 because obviously we need to gain new followers to gain new clients, right?
Sure.
So it's just finding that balance and trying to keep it as credible and classy as you can.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to have a G-Wagon and look like an idiot.
To look arrogant.
Exactly. So it's trippy, you know.
you do it well, bro. You really do. You have a really good handle on content, yourself, putting yourself out there, and you know, in different ways. But you always do provide value, which is sick. Like your page and your content's very much, it's value dense. You know, you're just constantly putting out some like really.
Your growth has been amazing as well. Like, where do you find your like? Where's your growth come from? Because what, 2-3 years ago, how many followers were you on?
Dude, for 2 years ago, like I think it was about 2 years ago, I was sitting at 60,000 or 70,000 for years, bro.
Yeah.
And I was in the pharmaceutical industry doing sales. And then I was like, you know what? Like, screw this. I want to like make this fitness thing work, at least for a little bit, at least for 6 months or 12 months or whatever. So initially I started posting like, I tried to post, you know, 4, 5, 6 times a week on Instagram. But when I really took off was maybe last summer, I think, or I forget if it was two was summers it like ago or
just
not.
Just the reels, it's the consistency of the reels.
Because you know how the reels like took off like a summer ago, or whatever. That's when I went from like 70 to 100.
Yeah,
you know, got to 200 real quick, yeah. and then there's always like the peaks and the valleys or plateaus rather.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just like being relentless and unapologetic with like just fitness content.
And are you doing TikTok and YouTube as well? Or?
I'm trying to do YouTube. Well, sorry, I'm not trying. We are doing YouTube. I'm really careful with like language too, because I don't want to try. I want to just freaking do.
Yeah.
And, my buddy Josh and I are really trying to hammer down some YouTube content and just create more long form stuff, because I think like it has a longer shelf life and you're able to impact more people. It stays around for a longer time. So that's what attracts me to YouTube. You can tell a story.
Well, of course. And then with this, we can make a little clip and then that could be a YouTube short.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll send this to your guy. He can clip it up and post it 20 times on TikTok.
Exactly.
But I did want to, sorry, my gum. I did want to ask you about, because I think like, this is just me, because I'm all about like fitness, faith, family, stuff like that. And you mentioned like, what is the religion or the main religion in the UK Catholic?
It's Christianity.
Christian.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're so multicultural in the UK.
Yeah.
So I think 15% of the UK is Muslim, for example. But vast majority is Christianity for sure.
And you grew up like highly, like were you really religious as a kid?
Yeah. So my dad was Protestant. So my dad was Church of England. My mum was Catholic. My mum comes from an Irish background. So my nan and granddad came over to the UK and, as Irish people do, work their bollocks off. They had 8 kids. My mum's one of 8. So I've got 25 first cousins. So it's a huge Irish family.
Wow.
Grew up at the Catholic school. So been christened, Holy Communion, and then obviously confirmed. So yeah, spent many Sundays with my brothers at church and stuff, which is amazing. We had a lovely upbringing, you know. The Irish Catholic community was amazing. So yeah, I obviously don't have time to go to church now, but my sister's just had two kids. They've been christened. So yeah, we're definitely continuing it.
Yeah, I love that. I think because I wasn't raised, I was raised more, just Christian, like Baptist or non-denominational.
Yeah.
And so like, I think that could even be a misconception too of people who follow me. They're like, oh, he must be like super, super religious. And like you obviously hear the difference of like, oh, I'm spiritual, I'm not religious. I wouldn't go so far to be like, I'm not religious at all. But I think people have maybe a misconception, because I don't think it's all about rules and regulations. Like, I don't think it's about like, do this, don't do that. You know, I think God is so much more beautiful, powerful, loving than we could ever imagine. 100%. And like, to be honest, like, we're Christian. Sometimes the worst things that can happen, like sometimes Christians are the cause of the hate towards other Christians. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
So like highly strictly religious people often do like more damage than anybody else.
Yeah, no, of course. And look, every religion has its fault. Like, it's,
for sure.
I mean, and there's ways to learn. And then, of course, and things will only get better, hopefully. But I was recently in Israel because I had clients in Israel. So awesome. For me, when they said, you fancy going to Jerusalem? I was like, wow, this is going to be amazing. This is literally my childhood.
Yeah.
So, and I couldn't believe like how the Muslim, the Jewish, and obviously Christianity faith was all so connected, so tight. It was mental. It was crazy to see. That was definitely eye opening. Obviously, what's going on now is heartbreaking, you know?
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. But so, of course. Like, I think America is definitely far more religious than the UK, for sure.
Yeah.
I do totally believe that. I think, unfortunately, I think Christianity, it's not dying in the UK, but it's definitely becoming less strong, which is a shame. I don't understand why. But for me, I was like, it's also part, it's like meditation, isn't it? It is. It's a form of meditation, religion, and you have to respect it. And that's where we are so multicultural in the UK. I think everyone does respect everyone's religion, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, meditation too is like, it is just like a place to recenter yourself and anchor yourself, you know? And I'm really drawn to like contemplative Christianity, which is just that I think it's, and again, I don't even know all the facts. Like I'm so naive because I'm just learning some stuff, but it really is this like contemplative way of life, meaning a meditative way of life. Like being okay with knowing that you don't know everything. Being okay with like, there's mystery, dude. There's mystery. Yeah. When you're talking about things like God or being like God, is like, you will never fully understand it. And I think like that's the journey of contemplative or meditative Christianity, because you're just like trying to search and seek God. And so like for you, like what's the biggest, I guess, like growing up in like the Catholic Church and growing up going to church, what's the biggest thing you take from it now that makes your life better?
Sense of community, you know, and respecting people of all races, all genders, everyone, you know. I think that's massively a community, like that community that we had as a kid in the school, family. Yeah, it's everything. Family to me is everything. I'm wanting to raise a beautiful family as well. I think, and having that morals is so important. So for me, that's the biggest thing I got out of being a young Catholic boy, for sure.
Yeah. I think with people who, like with all the faults of religion, to our point earlier, is like, it does have some pretty beautiful things, you know, like the community, the tradition, or like
massively overweigh or overpower the negative.
For sure. And you know, it's funny, you know, it's like not better is just believing like survival of the fittest and cut people, you know, through. Like what's not going to work well is like just believing nothing matters, like nihilism or whatever, nihilism. Yeah, yeah. So
atheism.
Yeah. Well, and even that, dude, I think people are, you know, I just think people are on.
Me, like if you're an atheist, cool, you do your thing, you know?
Sure.
I respect that too, you know, as long as you're good energy and you don't bring your beliefs to me, that's
right.
Sweet. That's fine.
Right. Right. For sure.
And that's what I am with everything. I'm like, you do you, but don't bring your energy to me if I don't appreciate or don't like it.
Right, right. And I think we're both similar, where it's like, I'm not going to preach at you. So like, I don't need to like be preached at myself as well.
But I would love to learn though, 100%. Mm-hmm. So for example, I went to Israel. I was like, I want to learn the history here, because if I have a conversation with someone, I know what I'm talking about, or I understand what's being said. And then when I went to Sri Lanka, I started learning about Buddhism. Incredible religion, for example. Some of the nicest people, the most trustworthy people you can trust. You go to Bali, and the majority of is Hindu. Again, a beautiful religion, you know? So you respect everyone and everyone's religion.
That's really, dude, I think the world needs more of that. Like, it's so easy to, like be tribal and be like, well, this is us versus them, us versus them.
And I see that on YouTube, but like, sometimes like algorithms, sometimes I see people in Hyde Park, the Jewish and the Christians, arguing with the Muslims and vice versa. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? We all believe in the same God, right? Everyone wants to be healthy, everyone happy, but of course there's always going to be negative. So it's a shame, really. It's a shame. And now for me, like, if you put that energy into a business or to something else, you'd be so successful.
Dude, like, that's spot on.
Do you know what I mean? The amount you spend at Hyde Park arguing with a different religion, you could be put into a business and helping charities and helping your people. Wow. If you're that religious,
right?
And it's incredible. Like, it's mental for me. But that's just my entrepreneurial brain working. I'm like,
No, but it's true though. Like, it's very true. And I think it stems from a place of like this need to be right, or this need to be like a part of the end group. And I just think that doesn't all the time produce like good things in the world. You know,
100%.
So that's really, I was going to ask you though, is the Israel, what stood out to you the most? Like, what was the best part of that trip? I guess kind of being where Christ lived.
Honestly, it was like my childhood, going to like Jerusalem and then seeing Bethlehem on the map and I'm driving near that. Wow, this is mental. This place seemed like
fairy tale world.
And now I'm actually here, you know, and you definitely sense the energy when you're there, mate. It's incredible. So that was amazing. That was definitely amazing. And then doing my research after brought all that learning as a kid back. And then as you get older, you've got more maturity. You understand the moral behind that story. And they go, cool, that makes sense. When you're younger, you don't really listen to them or figure out the moral of the story. You just think, okay, the story sounds good.
Right.
Do you understand?
You take it at like surface level value.
Yeah.
When I believe, yeah, I believe like the depths and the mystery of Jesus is like forever. Like we're not going to understand the mystery of God. Like it's just too deep. This ocean is too vast.
Yeah. And
it's beautiful. Like insert, you know, search and explore, but just know that you'll never fully comprehend like how much I think God loves the world. Like that's it.
Yeah.
And God, and when I say world, I mean like me, I mean you, I mean everyone we know. And I think that's what I wish the world realized more.
If someone said to you, for example, well, why is there so much misery? Why is there so much pain in the world? What was your response to that? Because
what a question.
Because that's what an atheist would ask someone who's got strong faith, right? And
so if an atheist asked me, Bradley, I'd be like, well, like, why is suffering bad? Like, because according to your worldview as an atheist, there's no God, then there's no good, there's no bad, there's only social constructs. Yeah. So like for you to say something's good or bad, you have no like absolute truth, right?
Yeah.
Because who's to say like what they did in, you know, Germany, like during the Holocaust, why is that bad? Because it was socially acceptable at the time, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, so that's what I would say is like, that's like, from your point of view or your worldview as an atheist, you can't say something is good or bad. It just is what it is. Like nature, there's death, there's suffering, there's pain. It just is what it is. But I believe, like I'm a big C.S. Lewis guy, which he's a British dude, absolute legend. I would highly recommend like reading some of his stuff. But he would say we just all have like this sense of like this deep knowing within our hearts, like something's right or wrong. We have like morality written on our hearts. And I believe that kind of points to something greater. But to your point, that doesn't solve the problem of suffering in the world, right? But my buddy actually asked me a question. Like he said, okay, like let's take your perspective. Say God doesn't exist. Would there still be suffering in the world?
Yeah, of course.
So it's not necessarily God's fault, right, that there's suffering in the world.
Yeah.
We just, I believe, just like the first page of the second page of the Bible, perhaps, like we just decided to like do our own thing and choose this separated life between ourselves and the divine. And so what that happens is we act out of our ego, and then we see other people as other and separate from ourselves, and therefore we can act out and hurt them or cut people, and that's why they're suffering, right?
Yeah. And I guess you can argue that suffering can make you stronger and wiser as well, so.
Yeah, true. Yeah, you don't get stronger by sitting on the couch, bro.
This is it, 100%. You don't get stronger by getting an ice bath. If that ice bath didn't have any benefits, I wouldn't be in it, would I?
Yeah, that's exactly right, bro. But yeah, dude, I think that's it. What do you think, last question here, man, what do you think the world, like, what do you think people just wish, sorry, what do you wish people just realize more, I guess? You know, what do you think was more popular, more people realize more?
Yeah, I said, like, if you focus on your physical health, then every aspect of your life will improve. Your mental health, your relationship with your friends, your productivity, your ambition, and just your overall success. I think that's just as simple as that. Coming from my industry, and it's not going to the gym and getting a six pack. I'm not saying do that. I'm just saying just look after your physical health and every other aspect of your life will improve.
That's so freaking good, man. Move your body. Take care of your body.
Yeah. And research and learn yourself, you know?
Yeah.
100%.
Bro, so good, man. We're almost on an hour, so I want to be mindful of your time. You got to eat dinner and stuff, but
it's half 7 in the UK right now, but it's all good, mate.
Okay. But thank you for chatting, bro. I think this is like such a sick episode. We talked about a little bit of everything. Is there anything we didn't talk about that you wish we did?
No, mate. I think I'm sure people will tune in or give some feedback and say, can you do it again and talk about this topic?
Yeah,
because I'm at the point now where I'm happy to say what I say. You know, I don't sit on any fence. Like I said, I'm not with any ambassador roles where I have to sit on the fence. Not that I'm going to say anything bad, but
yeah,
I think it's very important for us to be honest. You know,
tell the
and
truth.
Some people
man.
Are going to like it, and some people aren't. You know, you
that's
can't,
right,
you can't
dude.
Please everyone, and that's something I've definitely learned. You can't be a people pleaser in life.
Yes.
If you become a people pleaser, it won't be a happy ending.
Yeah, well, it's impossible, dude. You're just gonna be so frustrated, like you can't please everyone, because you're not gonna, like, what's that saying? It's like I never met someone who happy who's trying to please everyone, you know?
No, 100%.
Yeah.
Be arrogant.
You heard it here first, people. Be arrogant. Bradley Simmons. So where can people find you? Website or Instagram? Like, what are some stuff?
Yeah, just go to Bradley Simmons on Instagram. And yeah, if you fancy some online coaching or you fancy doing my app or just follow me for my regular content, then yeah, just give me a follow. And if you want to shout out, give me a little DM.
I love it, dude. Guy's a freaking legend. Bro, thank you for jumping on, man. I know people are going to eat this episode up, and I can't wait to listen to it again. I think we touched on a lot of important stuff, man.
And I'll give you a shout out to you in Miami.
Yeah, bro. Dude, send me the dates, and we'll definitely link up. I'm stoked for that.
100%.
For sure. Excited for me. All right, Bradley, let's go. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Hey, stay on real quick.